of us can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. Don't you like that math? God does not do math like we do. One can put 1,000. One of us Christians can put 1,000 to flight. 1,000 what? Devils, demons, people, whatever. 1,000. And two can put 10,000 to flight. We see this in Samson's life. Samson killed 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. See, he killed 1,000 men when he was in battle with the jawbone of an ass. Moses fought Pharaoh with words, and he brought God's people out of Egypt across the Red Sea, a dry Red Sea, with a stick, you know? And none of the 2 million people were sick, weak, or poor. They were wealthy and healthy. We have that same power and ability today. Jesus commanded 6,000 demons to come out of the man. And in Ezekiel, this is what's so powerful. Listen to this. See, we have more than just raising the dead power. We have more than just healing the sick power. This is what Ezekiel 37 says. And he says, the hands of the Lord was upon me. And he carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. Listen to this, saints. And he caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. So he's telling them what to do. He said, hear ye the words of the Lord. And verse 5, and it says, thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Sinew and flesh come on these bones, and skin. Then he prophesied to the four winds, and ye breathed, and came into them, and they lived. Saints of God, this is the power that the church has. God told him to prophesy to these bones. And when he prophesied to these bones, the skin came on them, on those bones. Sinew came on those bones. And then skin, flesh came, and then skin came. And then he prophesied, told them to prophesy to the four winds, and the breath came into them, and then they lived. Saints of God, the church has power. You know, we have the real power of God. And if we believe, we have unlimited power over the devil. But for this power to flow, we have to be obedient and we have to be committed to God. Our heart has to be toward God. God's church is one that is unstoppable. It has powers and ability, and it can't be stopped ever. Saints of God, we need to remember this, that we serve a God that's unstoppable. We are a church that's unstoppable. We have unlimited powers against Satan. So we need to begin to use those powers. And how do we do it? Let's get into the Word of God. Let's fast and pray. Go back to the old landmark. They used to fast and pray. That's what the disciples did. They fasted and they prayed, and the power of God came down like rain on them. So we can do the same thing. In order to have that power, we're going to have to fast, we're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to keep our lives clean and unspotted before God. Amen and amen.
Terry Demons on Facebook and Evangelist. Go with the we like to call you Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree.
You died to save man, the
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
In your Bibles, if you don't mind, to Psalms number 56, and I just want to lift out verse 13 in your hearing. Psalm number 56 and verse 13, and it simply says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. David is talking about a divine deliverance that in so many regards and respect bring this light and this view into modern day realities, as we too are grateful to God. We too have much to thank God for as it relates to deliverance after deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. And the word is, the record is, he's not through yet delivering us. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living." First thing I want you to focus in on this verse, and I won't be long this morning, is it deals with past deliverance. Somebody say past deliverance. Now that you've said past deliverance, can I just see the hands of those of you who will be honest and say, God has delivered me from some stuff in my past. Amen, amen, amen. That's important, because when you understand that deliverance was a great deliverance from death, that's how he starts off. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." That deliverance was a great deliverance, for it was from death. This can represent deliverance from spiritual death, deliverance from physical death, as well as other deliverances. But what is clear is the fact that he is clear about who it was who delivered him. Now, so many of us have gotten out of situations and circumstances in our lives, and we've given other people the credit for what God has done. Now, God may have used other people in the process. He may have used other people to assist us, but be clear about it. Your deliverance came from the Lord. You've got to be sure about your past deliverances in order to position yourself both spiritually, physically, and in every other way to give God what is rightfully his as relates to his praise and his glory and his honor, and even in setting you up for that is to come in the way of deliverances. And when you begin to understand how he talks about that God had delivered his soul from death, whether he's speaking about the physical death, whether he's speaking about the spiritual death, whether he's speaking about other deaths, it is clear that what is most important is death was alluded at this point because the deliverance was included. Now, a whole lot of us sitting here looking holier than thou, if we would be honest, we would know that if God had not included deliverance in our lives at this point, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. Because some of us are sitting here because we had a chance to get it together. Some of us are sitting here in spite of the fact that we have not yet gotten it together. And the fact of all of us being here present is a reality that God has already wrought deliverances in our life. You know, when you're real with the Lord, you don't have no problem being real with man. When you're able to talk about where the Lord has brought you from, what the Lord has delivered you from, what you used to be, where you used to be, how you used to be, you thank God yourself. You run across some folk who push some old buttons that's been disconnected. And every now and then self reminds you, had she done that 3 years ago? Had he done that 2 months ago? Before the Lord delivered me, they wouldn't be doing that. I wish I had a witness in my house. Some of you know what you used to be, where you used to be, how you used to be, but you've got to give God glory because he has delivered you from some stuff. And thanks be to God for them that you've been delivered. Ooh, I wish I had a helper in the house today. But when we begin to recognize past deliverances, my brothers and sisters, what's important is the fact that past deliverances sets us up for promised deliverances. Look at the text, because it moves on from the past deliverance when it says, for thou hast, that's past tense, delivered, that's past tense, my soul from death. But then it moves into the promised deliverance because it says, wilt not thou deliver me or my feet from falling? Now listen, this is what I love to say about the Lord. What he's done once, he can do it again. Any witnesses in the house? Your first deliverance, thank God, was not your last deliverance. And you've been delivered more times than you can count in many instances. But here's what you recognize, that if God has done it once, then there is a reason why he will do it again. Thank God for grace. Thank God for salvation, because the reality is that when he saved you from your past sins, he knew they were not final. Did you get what I just said? When he saved you from your past sins, he knew they were not final. In other words, he knew when he saved you from your past that you were still living presently. And because John has picked up on the revelation that just because we are saved and we're born again does not mean we live without sin. We can't even say we have no sin. 1 John tells you that in the first chapter. Why? Because the truth of the matter is that we are still yet subject to sin. We were saved, listen, from the power of sin. We were saved from the penalty of sin. But the problem is we've not yet been saved from the presence of sin. And so because we're made of dust and divinity, there is still a war going on the inside. Don't fool yourself. Just because you are saved doesn't mean the devil don't still mess with you. Just because you're still saved don't mean folk don't still try you. Just because you're saved don't mean that you aren't tempted and bothered by the enemy. Just because you're saved don't mean that the enemy don't has forgotten what you used to like. There y'all gonna go looking all holier than thou. I know you've been cleansed. I know you've been changed. I know you've been washed. But he still has a record of what used to push your buttons. every now and then he just pushes them to see that they're still disconnected. Oh, Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. When we begin to recognize again, he says, "Will not thou deliver my feet from falling?" Which means, Lord, I know you've taken care of my past, but I'm still walking. And because I'm still walking, I'm subject to stumbling and falling. And here's what he wants to know. Lord, I know you've taken care of what I used to do, but can you handle what I'm doing now? I ain't perfect yet, but I know that you can keep my feet from falling. Here's what it is important for you to see. God would not save you from your past without a promise of keeping you in your present. See, just a few folk that clapped, they got it. The rest of y'all, I might need to say it again because you didn't get this. What sense did it make for him to save you from your past, knowing that you were imperfect in your present, only to give you a chance and the enemy more so to take you down in a worse way? He recognizes, listen, God, you're not through with me yet. You're still dealing with me. And here's what I know. I can never be all that I'm going to be if you don't hold me up. I thank God that he holds my hand, that he walks with me, that he talks with me, that I become his leaning post, that I am grateful to God that I can lean on him, that I can trust him, that I can tell him how I feel, I can tell him what I need, I can tell him what I want, because he is my source. And so when I get weak, I can say, Lord, I'm getting weak now. And he said, don't worry about it, I got you. You see, I can tell God when my situation is bad and I don't know how to handle it, and I'm about to go off, I'm on my last nerve. And I'm like, Lord, if you don't step in and bring peace underneath my skin, it ain't gonna be no peace in this place. I am your peace, I got you. What I love about the Lord is you can talk to him and tell him and be real with him and know that he is the only one who can keep you from falling. And when we miss the fact that God loves us enough and he strengthens us, he reinforces us, he gives us the power and the ability. Can I say this as a matter of fact and parenthetically, that most times the reason we fall before we fall is that we don't ask God for strength before we fall. Y'all didn't get that. See, I want to throw this out too as a helpful holy hint. Some of us don't ask for strength because we don't want it. Now, I know that wasn't too spiritual to say. But some of us don't want God's strength because if we had his strength, then that meant we couldn't do what we had planned to do. So let me not be hypocritical and ask him for strength I don't want. Yeah. I can always tell when I'm in the house, because when I'm on your street knocking at your door, you try to hide from me, turn sideways like I don't see you. But God sees you. You think about it. You trying to quit smoking and you got that urge, that nicotine is calling you. But if you say, Lord Jesus, take this taste out of my mouth. Strengthen me so I don't light this cigarette up. God will meet you right there if you really mean it and you're sincere. But here's what you'll say. I ain't got but just one left. I'm gonna be through with this, Lord. You can take the taste out of my mouth after I get. You can sit there and act like I ain't talking to you. It ain't just gotta be about cigarettes. It can be about anything you got some issues with. David went on the rooftop one day and looked down one evening and saw a beautiful young girl. He saw that she was very curvaceous, beautiful long hair, and totally naked. David had a choice. He could have said, "My God," and turned his head and walked on back in the palace. But rather, what David did was he got a closer look. And he did go back in the palace, but he sent word to have her brought to my chambers. Now, had David said when he saw, "Lord, have mercy, I need your strength. If you don't help me, y'all. I've read the text. Nowhere do I see David calling for that. You've been in situations and circumstances right before your fall. If you had called on the Lord, you would not have fallen. But self gets in the way sometime, and we don't want his strength. And so the promised deliverance is here. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling? Because most times after you trip, if there's nothing to break your fall, it continues the process until you're down. Most times when folk, if you ever notice, trip, they are subconsciously and many times consciously reaching to grab for something or someone to hold on to. And they'll grab almost at thin air trying to keep from falling because they know the next step is down on the ground. And so some of us trip and we don't even try to break the fall. We start saying, "I've been down one time. I've been down two times. And now they're drowning. It ain't no different. It ain't no different." And so when we begin to recognize, my brothers and sisters, we've got a lot to do with whether or not we walk or fall, we swim or sink, by our own efforts and our own ideologies and our own desires. And when we trust God, trust him, that he's able to keep us, Jude says, from falling. He is able to keep us from, I'm not able to keep me from falling, but he is able to keep me from falling. And David knows here because he asked the question again, "Will not thou deliver my feet from falling?" Sometimes you can step in a place you didn't see coming and start the tripping process, but God can keep your feet from falling. Sometimes you can be set up but not taken down if you ask God for his help. Sometime you got to understand that while you don't see everything, God sees everything. And when you call on him to help you to keep from falling, he will do just that. But now we've talked about past deliverances, and we've talked about promised deliverances. But here's one more point I want you to focus on: the purpose of deliverance. Because it don't make no sense to have past deliverances and promised deliverances if there is no purpose to deliverances. Look again, because when we look at this word and we begin to see it, we'll understand that, and he makes clear in the latter part of that verse, he says, "That I may walk before God in the light of the living." That I might walk before God in the light of the living. There are two things that come to mind that he says, or when he says that he might walk before God and in the light of the living. One has to do with service. Because when he talks about walking before God, It is talking about being honorable in the things of God, doing what God has called him to do, making sure that his purpose is fulfilled on planet Earth, doing, as Jesus said, always those things which please his Father, working the works while it is day, because night cometh and no man can work. It is walking before him in service, to serve God, to honor God, to work for God, to be blessed in the work of God. It is so that God would be pleased with our walk. And listen, if we walk uprightly before him, he has promised no good thing will he withhold from us. When we walk upright before God, walk before God, it means we walk with the knowledge that God is observing our every step, that we're walking in the right direction, and we're walking with the right desire, so that in the end we will have that pleases God and profits us. We are walking intentionally before God so that God can see that we honor him, we honor his word, we honor his will, and we honor his way. And it's an honor to walk to the pleasure of God. It's a walk that you desire to do, knowing that no matter who else sees you, God sees you. That it is not a performance, but it is a heart's desire to please God. And know this, that your walking before God may not always please man. But your resolve is so strong that you want to please the Lord that it doesn't matter what man thinks about your walk and how he views your walk. Your walk is to please God Almighty. And so when you walk to serve God, when you walk to please God, when you walk to honor God, notice the word says before God. And so what's important about understanding that is the fact that you are conscious that it is before the reverent eyes, the holy eyes of our God. A God who judges properly, a God who knows our heart, a God who sees all things. And we're walking before this honorable God. And we do so with the knowledge that as we please him, he shall certainly profit us. But notice something else. It's not just for the service of God, but you also see that our walk is a sanctifying walk. It is so that we every day can become more and more like him. That our walk would harmonize with, again, his word, so that we can walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that we can honor God by honoring his son, who honored us by giving us his life in exchange for salvation. And so when we begin to see this deliverance is not just for our own pleasure and our own gain, but it is so that we can better serve him and live before him in a sanctified way. Yes, sanctification is so important to God. And listen to this. One of the things that I love about the sanctifying ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the fact that he is daily, consistently, and constantly working on us. Sanctifying us, and he sanctifies us through his word. John 17, 17 tells us this. Listen, when we live a sanctified life, we begin to show forth the goodness of God in ways we have no idea of. Let me throw this out so that you understand what I'm talking about. People you don't even see sees you. People you think aren't paying attention to you are paying close